Earlier this summer, we invited you to share with us your experiences from September 11th, 2001, and dozens of you responded. Thank you. Your stories moved us so deeply. Today, we're going to share with you one of those stories, and we plan to bring you another on Monday. Today, Roxana Myram of Newton, who was starting her first day as a student at Harvard University when the planes struck the Twin Towers. Roxana describes the excitement she felt for starting college and how that quickly changed.
That morning, I was in my dormitory and it had sort of a list of classes I was getting ready to visit for the day. I was going to interview for a math seminar or something like that. And, you know, it was just kind of psyching myself up. And my roommate came to the door and she said, "Someone has flown a plane into the World Trade Center." And I definitely paused. It just took a second to figure out what, you know, what she was talking about. And, you know, then it started to dawn on me. I said, I think my uncle works there. So I sat down at my desk. At that time, I, you know, had just a desktop computer and didn't usually spend much time looking up the news, but started trying to verify and figure out what was going on. I did see pictures at that point that started to be published of, you know, the first plane that had hit the World Trade Center. You know, I wanted to find out about my uncle. So at the time we had these red phones, these old school coiled receiver phones that were in our rooms. And I started calling my mom, and eventually I did get through. By that time, the second plane had hit the towers, and I found out from my mom that my uncle had died. My uncle is named Sean Rooney, and you know, that first moment when I connected with her, she was, you know, in an upset state, and she just said, "Sean's gone." So, you know, in finding that out, that my uncle was, you know, part of this unfolding national tragedy, suddenly my experience of it and my, I guess, my role in it changed really significantly. And, you know, I, you know, had grown up in the generation who had heard about school shootings and bombings of public places. But the idea of knowing someone individually who was a victim of a tragedy and an attack was something that I didn't know how to process or how to exist in that state.
Was your family able to talk to him? I understand he was in a tower.
So my uncle worked for Aon, an insurance corporation, and he was on the 105th floor of the second tower. And when the planes hit, he first had wanted to evacuate the building, but they were told to stay in the second tower. But throughout, my uncle was trying to get in touch with my aunt. At first, he left voicemail messages messages on her answering machine. And there's one where he says there's a plane that flew into World Trade Center 1. And he said, "And it's awful." Eventually, my aunt went home from her work, and then he got through to her. And so at first, he was going to try to make his way to the roof. There was a lot of confusion about whether it would be possible to rescue people from there, but the conditions, the like fire conditions in the building were such that it was just not possible to keep going, to keep getting up there. So at one point he stopped. He was still on the phone with my aunt. He said that he loved her. You know, they were able to connect and say goodbye. And then she was on the phone with him when the tower collapsed. In some ways, even though that's very tragic, it also meant that she knew. She knew that he was gone. And that gave her a sense of peace. It gave her a sense of of calm, knowing later or learning later that there were so many people in New York City who just couldn't get in touch with their loved ones, who had no idea if they were alive or dead.
I'm glad she had that peace.
Yeah.
So your aunt became involved in activism after mm-hmm. that day, including helping form what's called, in shorthand, the 9/11 Commission, which was the bipartisan committee tasked with investigating those attacks on 9/11. I'm interested in that activism, and if you think it helped your aunt heal, if that's even possible, or did her service, did she feel it helped others heal?
Yeah, absolutely. So my thoughts about this and my reflections on this have kind of changed a little bit over time, just to appreciate the nuances of what's involved. I think absolutely activism was a way to deal with and process grief and turn it into good. And I think how my aunt understood her role after this, along, you know, and in concert with many other families who also kind of took these actions, was there were things that happened that went wrong, and there's no shame or nothing to, you know, be afraid of in being accurate and honest about those things. But part of the cultural movement right after 9/11 was to sort of say, like, let's all band together, let's go to war, let's do these other things, but just kind of mythologize the details. And, you know, as someone who worked in the insurance industry, that didn't make sense to her. The whole world of, like, let's hold people accountable, and also let's make things safer for people in the future. That was a real motivating and I think healing impetus for her. That said, it's a lot of work to keep your grief public and alive, and to use it to convince people that your views are valuable. And I do think that took a toll on her. It takes a toll on anyone who has to, you know, keep reliving trauma in the public eye.
You know, as we talk, Roxana, I mean, the pain keeps coming back for you. So yes. When I ask you, how did you process your grief? I want to ask that question with an acknowledgement that you're still grieving.
Yeah.
But how have you processed your grief, and how has this day that came at a formative day and a formative moment in your life anyway, how has it formed you?
So, yes, I am still processing my grief about this, but I'm still also learning through it, I guess. At first, you know, I was away from school for a few days to be with my family. And when I went back, I still didn't have a script for how to be the niece of a terrorism victim starting college. And it was really hard, I think, to find the ways to advocate for myself or to know how to ask for help in ways that I needed, because I didn't know what I needed. There was one really wonderful Dean Jeremy Knowles, who met just with me and my friend, and it was really healing, because he was sort of the first person who just let me, like, be in a space that made it okay to be sad but still scholarly. And so I think a lot about that, just like how you make spaces that are emotionally honest, but still thoughtful and still engaged with the ways to move forward in something that is so devastating.
As I'm listening to you, there's this mental image forming. When we have one of those moments in life, sometimes if you picture a line, the journey someone's on, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes what happens is it's just a massive bump in the journey, and then the line continues. But sometimes that bump shoots the line off in another direction. Which was it for you?
So for me, I do think this really shifted my direction. I think it really brought out the values that speak to me and that drive me moving forward. And, you know, in my life since then, I've worked in the performing arts and in the arts and culture space in Massachusetts. And when I went with Mass Creative to Arts Matter Day, which was, you know, a time where we were advocating for funding for the arts in Massachusetts, you know, they invited us to kind of tell your story about why arts matter. And that invitation was the first time I really reflected on what for me had become just a really driving force, that creativity was the opposite of terror. And I realized that, you know, kind of the way that I worked in the arts was really tied to my experience during and after 9/11, that I cared about building safe spaces to express big emotions. I cared about, you know, bringing strangers together to build meaning about things. You know, I cared about having creative voice and agency, even when the world might feel like despair. So, and I really, you know, believe that through practice that people can create rather than just destroy. And being a part of a community who does that was really healing for me.
That is Roxana Myram of Newton. Roxana, thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
That's our show today. We're glad we spent it together. Thank you for sharing your memories with us. I'm Tiziana Deering, and you've been listening to Radio Boston.